Other, Amanda said. They're rather like tranquilizers. You need tranquilizers? Now and again, Amanda replied. Pancho took the bottle from Amanda's shaking hands. There was no label on it. You don't need this shit, Pancho growled. She pushed past Amanda and started to pour the pills down the toilet. Don't! Amanda screeched, snatching the bottle from Pancho's hands. Don't you dare! Mandy, this crap can't be any good for you. Tears sprang into Amanda's eyes. Don't tell me what's good for me, Pancho. You don't know. You have no idea. Pancho looked into her red-rimmed eyes. Mandy, this is me, remember? You can tell me whatever troubles you got. Amanda shook her head. You don't want to know, Pancho. She clicked the bottle's cap back on after three fumbling tries, then opened the medicine chest atop the sink to return the bottle to its shelf. Pancho saw the chest was filled with pill bottles. Jeeps, you got a regular drugstore, she murmured. Amanda said nothing. You need all that stuff? Now and again, Amanda repeated. But why? Amanda closed her eyes and took a deep, shuddering breath. They help me. Help you how? When Martin wants some special performances, Amanda said in a voice so low that Pancho could barely hear her. When he invites other women to help us in bed. When he wants me to take aphrodisiacs to enhance my response to him and his friends. Some of them are video stars, you know. You'd recognize them, Pancho. They're famous. Pancho felt her jaw drop open. And when Martin brings one or two of his strange young male friends to join us, I really need pills to get through that. And for watching the videos he projects on the ceiling, and for trying to sleep without seeing all those nasty, horrible scenes over and over again. Amanda was sobbing now, tears streaming down her cheeks, her words incomprehensible. Pancho wrapped her long arms around her and held her tightly. She didn't know what to say except to whisper, "There, there. It'll be all right, Mandy. You'll see. It'll be all right." After several minutes, Amanda pulled away slightly. "Don't you see, Pancho? Don't you understand? He'll kill Lars if I don't satisfy him. He's got me completely under his control. There's no way out for me." Pancho had no response for that. "That's why I agreed to have the baby, Pancho. He promised to stop the sex games if I bear his son. I'll have to quit the drugs, of course. I've already started on a detox program." Pointing to the bottle of red capsules, Pancho said, "Yeah, I can see." "I'm weaning myself off them," Amanda protested. "It's just that tonight, I need one."
"What the news nets would give for this story," Pancho muttered.
"You can't, you mustn't." Desperate alarm flashed in her tear-filled eyes. "I only told you." Pancho gripped her quaking shoulders. "Hey, this is me, remember? I'm your friend, Mandy. Not a peep of this gets past that door." Amanda stared at her. Not even if it could save Astro from being taken over by the Humper. "This is between you and me, Mandy. Nobody else. Ever." Amanda nodded slowly.
"I'll tell you one thing. I'd like to go downstairs and punch that smug son of a bitch so hard he'll never be able to smile again."
Amanda shook her head slowly, wearily. "If only it were that simple, Pancho. If only..."
The phone in the bedroom buzzed. Amanda took a deep breath and walked to the bed. Pancho swung the lavatory door half shut, hiding her from the phone camera's view.
"Answer," said Amanda.
Pancho heard Humphrey's irritated voice demand, "How long are you going to stay up there? Some of the guests are starting to leave."
"I'll be down in a moment, Martin."
Amanda returned to the lavatory and began repairing the makeup on her face. Pancho thought that if the Humper even noticed she'd been crying, it wouldn't make any difference to him. Then a new thought struck her. If Lars knew about this, he'd kill Humphreys. He'd fight his way past all the armies in the solar system to get to Humphreys and rip his throat out. Cellini, Hotel Luna, Residential Suite. Pancho could not sleep that night. She roamed the rooms and corridors of her residential suite, her mind in a turmoil over Amanda and Humphreys. It had taken Pancho years to realize that, as the top executive of one of the largest corporations in the solar system, she could afford luxuries. It wasn't until her younger sister left on a 5-year expedition to Saturn that it finally hit her. Sis is on her own now. I'm not responsible for her anymore. I can start living any way I want to. She changed her lifestyle, but only minimally. Her wardrobe improved, although not grandiosely so. She didn't become a party-goer. She never got mentioned in the tabloid shows. She still worked nearly every waking moment at her job as chief executive officer of Astro Corporation. Still spent as much time in the factories and research labs as in the corporate offices and conference rooms. Still knew each of the division heads and many of the lower echelon managers on a first-name, drinking buddy basis. Her one obvious change was her domicile. For years, Pancho had lived with her sister in a pair of adjoining two-room units on Cellini's third level. When she traveled to Earth, she stayed at corporate-owned suites. After her sister left, Pancho spent several months feeling lonely, betrayed by the sister she had raised from infancy, twice, since Sis had died and been cryonically preserved for years while Pancho watched over her sarcophagus and waited for a cure for the cancer that took her first life. Once Sis was revived from her liquid nitrogen immersion, Pancho had to train her all over again to walk, to use the toilet, to speak, to live as an adult. And then the kid took off for distant Saturn with a team of scientists and their support personnel, starting her second life in independence, as far from her big sister as she could get. Eventually, Pancho realized that now she could live in independence too. So she splurged for the first time in her life. She leased several units from the nearly bankrupt Hotel Luna and brought in contractors who broke through the walls and floors to make her a spacious, high-ceilinged, thoroughly modern home that was perfectly suited to her personality. The double-height ceilings were a special luxury. No one else in Cellini enjoyed such spaciousness, not even Martin Humphreys in his palatial mansion. Some said she was competing with Humphreys, trying to show that she, too, could live in opulence. That thought had never occurred to Pancho. She simply decided to build the home of her dreams, and her dreams were many and various. In every room, the walls and floors and ceilings were covered with smart screens. Pancho could change the decor, the ambience, even the scent of a room with the touch of a button or the mere utterance of a word. She could live in the palace of the Caliph of Baghdad, or atop the Eiffel Tower, or deep in the fragrant pine forests of the Canadian Rockies, or even out in the flat, dusty scrubland of her native West Texas. This night, though, she walked on the barren, pockmarked surface of the moon, as the cameras on the floor of the crater Alphonsus showed it in real time, silent, airless, the glowing blue and white crescent of Earth hanging in the black star-strewn sky. Mandy doesn't want Lars to know what she's been going through, Pancho finally realized, because he'd go wild and try to kill Humphreys. But Humphreys' people would kill Lars long before he got anywhere near the Humper. She stopped her pacing, stared out across the dark, uneven floor of Alphonsus, dotted with smaller craterlets and cracked here and there by rills. Maybe that's what Humphreys wants. He promised Mandy he wouldn't try to kill Fuchs if Mandy married him, but now he's making her life so miserable that Lars'll come after him and get himself killed. Oh, that's just like the Humper. Make the other guy jump to his tune. He won't go after Lars. He'll make Lars come after him. What'll Lars' reaction be when he finds out Mandy's going to have a baby? Will that be enough to set him off? Is that why Humphreys impregnated Mandy? He's got one son already, somebody to carry on his gene line. Rumor is the kid's his clone, for crap's sake. Why does he need another?